You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
My father said, don't you worry, child. See, heaven's got a plan for you. Don't you worry now.
Him doesn't just look like showing up on a Sunday or a Sunday night. Following him is your whole life, and everything changes when you begin to see heaven's plan for you. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to just take a peek at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and then we're going to look at chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we're going to do a whole bunch of reading tonight. But believe it or not, we're not going to be doing this all night. We got lots of questions. We got some amazing couples we're going to be interviewing tonight. I'm very excited. So let's pray, and we'll look at this together. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all that you have done and all the situations and circumstances that have led us to this point. I thank you for your incredible passion for us and your incredible love that you have placed on us, that you love us with a love that is eternal and a love that was before we were ever born, in a love that isn't based on our past because you loved us before we ever had one, a love that is absolutely convincing and convicting. And I pray that tonight we would respond not just to the idea of right relationships, but to who you are, that we would first respond to you, and out of responding to you, that we would respond in a way that would influence every area of our life. I ask for your peace tonight. God, I ask for your peace for those married and those single. I ask for your peace for those that are finding themselves in broken and painful situations. I ask for your peace that surpasses and supersedes any natural understanding. Would you cause tonight, let us be influenced by you and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Did it again. Here we go. Let's do this. You know, I grew up in a Christian home and in a Christian school. And back then, you couldn't have ever told me I was going to be standing here doing what I'm doing today. I wanted to make the MBA, and I know I'm too short to ever even dream of that. But I had hopes. And so it didn't really work out that way. But one thing that I did know that God had a pretty good idea about relationship. I read the Bible, and I read the comic book Bible, and I read a whole bunch of things about the Bible. And if you don't know, there is a comic book Bible, and it's pretty fun to read. And so there's a whole bunch of things about the Bible that were amazing. And I remember coming across an amazing verse that about God's standards in marriage. And here's what it says. I'm just going to read it for you really quickly. It's actually in chapter 7, and it's not going to be posted on the screen. You're just going to have to see this just for a minute. It says here, and you can look for it for yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Bible says this: do not deprive one another. I was like, you're like, what are you talking about? The Bible just said that when you're married, you're not to not have sex. I was like, I like that verse. I was like, what an awesome God. Are you kidding me? Like, this is my world that God's saying, yeah, you're married, have sex and have lots of it. I'm like, somebody knows what they're talking about. And I even at a young age, I was like, that's a funny verse. And the whole verse is funny because the Bible says that when you're married, your body's not your own anymore. And then the Bible says for young men that when you're married, your wife's body isn't her own, but yours. And I'm like, yes, like that's awesome. And I just remember thinking, I know some of you are like, it's too awkward. Get me out of here. Why am I even here? I just want to be real with you. I was like, that sounds really exciting. And that actually, that was one of the things that kept me, that God had instructions about marriage and instructions about dating, instructions about life, not because he wanted to set a bunch of rules about it, because sex and marriage and relationship is so powerful and so amazing. And it's actually a picture of God's love for the church, that he puts rules and guidelines around it to protect it so that you use it for what it was intended to be instead of what you feel like it to be in the moment. And so there is a passion that God has for marriage and a passion that he has for married people. And he holds them to a crazy standard. And he gives such an invitation. And when he was teaching on marriage, the disciples said, man, your standards are so crazy, so high. And I'm paraphrasing right now. Crazy isn't really in the Bible. But he says, your standards are so crazy, so high. What's the point of even getting married? And Jesus said something that was mind-bending, and most preachers never want to preach on it, especially in a Western world. He says something mind-bending. He says, basically, yeah, what's the point of getting married? And then he goes on to say, because it's about the kingdom of God. And we talked a bit about this last week, but marriage isn't the only way to live an amazing life in the kingdom of God. That the Bible actually says that when we come to heaven, we're not going to be married. That marriage is for now, and marriage is one of the many ways that God forms his life in you, and God causes you to respond to him, and you are in need of him. And marriage is a glorified picture of God's love for the church. That's why marriage commitment and marriage life and marriage fidelity is so important, because everything you do and say in marriage is preaching a gospel, a false gospel or a true gospel. And a true gospel is Jesus will never leave nor forsake you, that he will love you forever, and he is committed to you, and he is purely, wholly, devotedly, passionate for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So that's what it looks like. And whether you agree or disagree with me at this point, Jesus unleashes something that in a culture that was built around marriage, he unleashes something that caused the disciples to go, I don't know what to do with my life. And he unleashes something in our culture that it seems like that the only way is to get married. That to fulfill all your dreams is to find the one. You're one in a million, baby. You're my only one. You're my forever. You're my BFF, TFCIKB. See if you can spell that later. You're that one for me. And everyone's talking, especially with vampire series and all these kind of things, of you're my eternal one. If you bite me, we're going to rock out forever. and all of those kind of things, there's a passion to be connected. And what you need to come into this place tonight with is that your passion to be connected is to be connected to Jesus. That's the fulfillment of our passion. That is the fulfillment of our life, is it's all about Jesus. It takes real humility to hear that. And it takes you to encounter the real Jesus to even see it. And that's why we're here. And so I would be a fool to stand up here and say that if God has called you to a single life, that you're missing out. And we're going to look at that tonight. You know what? Guess what? God loves singles. Seems like in church life, marriage is the only way to do anything. And if you're married, then that's when everything starts taking off for you. But in God's kingdom, singleness and marriage, both are reflections of his love and glory. But it's singleness, not just single, living how you want, when you want, where you want, but singles, passionately committed, devoted, holy, almost like a marriage to Jesus. Okay? So that's what he invites us into. And it is something amazing and mind-bending. And so the gospel begins with the reality that we are sinners saved by grace. That we are those that did not deserve God's love, yet God poured his love out on us. And while we were still sinners, Christ came towards us and caused us to love him. That his love for us isn't based on our past, because he loved us before we ever had one. That his love for us is not based on our performance, because his love is based on his love for you. And so God invites us into his life. And Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, says this, writing of in the Bible here in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 11. We're going to have it on the screen up here, and we're also going to be looking at it in our Bibles. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, I encourage you to bring it. But the Bible speaks of this starting in verse 11 and says at the beginning that we all don't deserve God's love, and we all come from very broken or painful or awkward, and we've done things that have gone too far, and we don't deserve God's love. Yet, Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted than we could ever imagine. And here's what the Apostle Paul speaks. He says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and stomach for the food. God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So the body is not meant for sexual immorality. The body is meant for the Lord. Are you hearing this tonight? The body is meant for the Lord. Your purpose, your life, your existence is for the Lord. He gives us these things in this life as gifts to us, but it's for Jesus. It's about Jesus. So whether you're married or single, you have a call to Jesus. You have a call to run after him with all that you have, because that's what you were created for. That's what you were designed for. And God, the Bible says in verse 14, "And God raised the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one in body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one in spirit with him. Flee, run from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies." And so the gospel is this, that he has called us to himself, and he died in our place for our sins as our Savior, taking on the death that we deserve for the sins and mistakes and the life that we have lived apart from his rule, his plan, and his design. And he has called us into himself, and he has called us into his life. And the Bible says we're not our own anymore. That if you believe in Jesus Christ, you were bought with a price. And you need to now glorify God with your body. You not only need to, you get to. Glorify God with your body. The Bible is not about do's and don'ts. It's about get to's, opportunities, invitations, if you will. It's about the life that God has given you, that he's taken a veil off of our eyes, that we can see him. And though we don't physically see him, the Bible says we love him. Now, isn't this different than anything you might have heard before? This is so different than what our cultures are saying. Culture is saying that our culture says, no, sexuality and what I do with my body is my own. I can do whatever I want with my body, and I'll sleep with whoever I want, and I've got to experience it. And actually, it's a part of my self-expression or who I really am. I'm going to find my identity, whether I'm straight or bi. I'm going to find my life found up, wrapped in sexuality. And the Bible says, no. You were created for a purpose, and your primary purpose is for Jesus. That's your primary purpose. And out of that, and out of responding to his life and love, do we find the life that he has given. And so if you're single right now, you don't have to be worried. Am I ever going to get married? Your concern should be for Jesus. Your life should be towards Jesus and focused on him. And so verse 17 of chapter 7 says this, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, to which God called him. That is my rule in the churches." It's more important right now, especially if you're young, you haven't had relationships, and especially if you're in high school, I mean, you got a long ways to wait before you can actually get married. There is a reality, not a long ways, but anyways, could be very short after graduation, but anyways, but the reality is that God is so into his call that he has for you. That you're born with a purpose. You're born with a plan. That your gifts weren't just because you're super awesome and special and really cute when you came out. And so God waved his little magical wand and he said, you will be a singer. Bong. No, no, no. You have the ability to sing. God made you a singer before you were ever born. And it's not for your own sake. It's for his glory. That your gifts, everything that you have, is for a purpose. And it's all part of the bigger story that God is creating throughout history that was before you were ever born, before I was ever born. That God is building a story for his glory that he will reveal himself in and through us. What a great privilege and honor that he is saving people and he has saved many. And he is continuing to save many and bringing them into his life. And so your call is a part of your life. And marriage is a call, not an option. Marriage is a call, not an option. You don't just think, oh, maybe, maybe not. Are you called to be married? Are you called to devote yourself wholly to Jesus? Those are big, big questions. You're like, oh, will I be alone for the rest of my life? Let's read what the Bible says. Are you ready for this? And I'm reading directly here right now without giving you too many stories or other things because I want you to actually try to wrap your mind around this. In a few weeks from now, we're going to jump into the series, the topic right here, right now. We're going to look at what you need to be doing and the life that you can be living and all of those kind of things, options about how to experience the fullness of what God has for you right here, right now. And we're going to be hitting that at the very end in several weeks from now. But right now, I want you to be able to take a Bible and read this for yourself. Go, I'm going to wrap my mind around what God has. And we're going to be ending with this really quickly. Because I want to get on to questions. But I need you to hear what God actually says about being single. What God actually says about the life that he has for us. Okay? Now hear this. Verse 25. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord. Hear this. This is scripture. And Paul is saying here, I have no official command from the Lord. But listen to what he says. But I give you my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. He's a pretty trustworthy guy. He wrote like 13 books in the Bible. Say he's pretty trustworthy. Okay. I think that in the view of present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you, listen to his words, okay? Just for married people in here, just bear with me, okay? Single people, laugh away, okay? You ready? Are you bound to a wife? Ah! Oh, shoot. We got a different view, but anyways, this is what Paul's saying, okay? We're going to roll this. Not contrary to what he's saying, but I just would like to call it something other than bound. Committed, delightfully faithful, totally enraptured by the delight I have for my wife. Not bound, not shackled, not chained and ball, okay? Anyway, so here we go. Do not seek to be free. Okay, so if you're bound to a wife, do not seek to be free. Oh, good. Are you free for a wife? AKA, are you single? Here we go. Are you single? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. Jeez. Like, listen to what he's saying. It's like, if you marry, you haven't sinned. Well, that's nice. Thank you. I haven't sinned. I'm married. Okay, like, that's a good deal. And if your betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you of that. Is this not real and honest? Like, this is, you ask any married person, there's troubles. And Paul's going, I love you so much, and I know God's got a call on your life. I would spare you of those worldly troubles. Just rock the single life. Rock living for Jesus. Do missions. Go anywhere. Serve him. Don't be married right now because God has better plans for you, if you will. I'm not making fun of it. I'm saying some of you have never even heard this before. You're like, marriage, 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 marriage. Best, 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 best. Want. Right? Because most of you are thinking, the only way I'm going to have sex is if I get married. You're like, well, that's something, okay? So, and that technically is true anyway, so here we go. But the Bible also says, we talked about that last week, that there's more to life than sex. Okay? Now some of you are like, wait a minute, I thought Sam was telling me the truth. Anyways. Here we go. I would spare you of that. This is what this This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, you gotta just pay attention to this. Here we go, ready? From now on, let those who have wives live as though they have none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. Meaning, time is short, Jesus is coming, and we need to be focused more on him than anything else. And so Jesus isn't saying, just wife, make her live in a corner, reject your husband, don't cook for him anymore, don't rock anything. Husbands, don't cook for your wife, don't clean for her anymore. Just you, just serve and just listen to Jesus. It's not saying that at all. But it's saying you need to be focused on what eternally matters. What's the bigger picture here? And it's better if you both live that way. You both live that way. And it changes the expectations in marriage off of what are they going to do for me, but rather what are we doing for Jesus and how can we do it best together? I got some amazing couples that live that way tonight for you to be listening to the interview. I want to free you from anxiety. The Bible is about freedom. The Bible's not binding you and shackling you and making your life miserable. The Bible's about freedom, and it's about you seeing life the way Jesus made you to live. And so he says, I want you to free from the anxieties. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. How to please the Lord. And I need to stop there really quickly. Young men and young women in this room, your call, your invitation is to be focused on pleasing the Lord. That's good. And do you know what? If you consume your attention with what pleases the Lord instead of what your future is going to look like, pornography is not an issue. Obsessing on Facebook is not an issue. You reading books and magazines about what your future life is going to look like and what the perfect life is going to look like and Pinteresting your whole flipping little world all on your future. Your focus is to be on the Lord. Your focus is to be on the Lord. How to please the Lord. Hear that tonight. We're going to answer questions about dating. We love marriage and we love God honoring lives and we want to be that people, but you need to look at your life and let scripture not just kind of hit you and go, I wonder what that would look like, but go, am I living to please the Lord? Paul is saying here, that should be the whole focus of a single life is on the Lord. And a dear friend of mine, Elsie Walsh, said this, especially for young ladies. Young ladies, don't worry about which boy is going to take you out or what's going to happen with your future, but run hard after Jesus. And as you're running, see who's running with you. And if they're good looking, marry them. It's a great plan. Be so focused on pleasing Jesus, running. Be like, I'm just going to look over here for a sec, okay, Jesus? Oh, hot! Okay, keep running. Can we go? Yeah, awesome, go! And running together. Something like that. Because if it matters in eternity, that's our focus. And most of us, eternity doesn't matter because you don't think you're going to die. You don't think you're ever going to have to be sick or anything weird's going to happen to you. You think, oh, I'm just going to live normally forever and everything's going to be great and life's not going to interrupt and hit me in the head and crush me and hurt me and anything like that. So we don't think eternity really matters, but you need to know that this is the reality. And whether it feels like it matters, it matters. And I'm not trying to convince you by saying it's fact. I'm inviting you to see something different than many of you have ever looked at it before, because Jesus is inviting you into life focused on him. Because that's the purpose. That's what you're really made for. And if you think you're going to be satisfied in marriage and you're building your hope on that, you're missing the point, because Jesus is the one that truly satisfied. And if you look at 50% divorce rate in the world, and it would be even higher if common law was categorized in that, there is a reality that says really loudly, it's not very easy to be married. And there's a reality that says it might not be your hope. Maybe. And you need to hear that. And so ending with this, The Bible says in verse 33, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to be holy in body and spirit. Come on. Anxious about how to be holy in body and in spirit. That's to do with your eyes, your thoughts, your heartbeat, and physically. That means no messing around, no playing around, none of that. To be focused on Jesus. Again, not a bunch of rules, an invitation. And rules, actually, because it's so powerful. Marriage is so powerful. And sex is so powerful. The Bible, and I'm just going to come to that in just one sec. The Bible says this here. But the married woman is anxious about the worldly things, how to please her husband. I can say this for your own benefit, not to lay a restraint upon you. So basically, not to put a bunch of rules on you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. For those of you in this room, can you receive that tonight? Do you see the intention of Paul, the pastor, saying, I want to secure, firmly fasten your feet in the truth that your passions are to be undivided focus on the Lord. Undivided focus on the Lord in every area of your life. In every area of your life. And we read at the beginning that sex actually binds you to the person that you are with. And that works within marriage and outside of marriage. And that's why Paul uses a prostitute as an example. And he's writing to a church that had a whole bunch of questions about dating, sex, and marriage, and life. And Paul says, you cannot play with this. You cannot go, well, I won't get hurt. Or it'll be okay for me. Or they really love me. Or I'm ready to do this. The Bible says that you participate in that. You're participating in that which you cannot control, and that which you do not understand, and that which is reserved, designed for, to be only in marriage with one person for the rest of your life. And God builds the context of marriage with one man, one woman, in a unique, exclusive relationship for their entire life. And he causes the building block, if you will, to be one of the building blocks of your marriage. The thing that builds marriage is sex. It's not to be played around with or just kind of peeked at every now and then. And young people, when you're looking at it, and we're going to talk about this more in the future series, whenever the thing about sex that you need to understand very quickly and fooling around in any way, I'm talking about kissing, I'm talking about touching, feeling up, doing anything like that. And you can just, don't let your mind go there. If you're young ladies in this room and you're like, what's he talking about? I love you. Wonderful. You keep rocking that. But other ones, we're a very exposed culture. We're a very exposed culture. My 10-year-old son just, we were playing Boggle and the word sex was actually in Boggle and he was laughing. I'm going, oh, buddy, we got some talks. I mean, we've already had talks, but we got some talks. Oh, wait, you're laughing. Why? So, anyways, so do you see? So there's. Thank you. I'm glad that you guys found that funny. For me, it's getting very traumatic. He's 10. Feels like just yesterday I was rocking him, and he's laughing at the word sex. I'm like, oh man, here we go. So do you hear what you hear this tonight? This is my exciting passion for you, is that you would see the power that sex has. That you would, if you haven't had sex, then to trust that it is powerful and that God has a designed plan for where it's used for. And you need to know this, it's so powerful that everybody that begins at a certain stage of virginity, if you will, and they have their first kiss. Your next kiss will go further than your first kiss. Your previous line of experience never goes back to that original place. It always starts where you left off. It's the power of it. And it gets more and more and more and more. And it's almost uncontrollable. when you get to certain points. And the Bible says it's that his, the passion of Jesus Christ is to secure you in the life of devoting your entire passion, your entire focus on him. And seeing him as your fulfillment and experiencing his life. And some of you in this room that have not experienced his life would go, how can that even be? Well, tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can know Jesus. And you can begin to know him and know him more and begin a journey of a life of receiving the love that he has given and having a life that responds in every single way to his love. And so with that, I want to just right where you're sitting, I just want to close our eyes. And if you're new here and you're like, I don't want to close my eyes, feel free not to. But I want to invite you to close your eyes. And I want to give us all an opportunity that with the words of Scripture spoken to us tonight, that we would let Scripture transform our minds and our hearts and not just let our previous held understandings or experiences be our forming factor. And if you're here tonight and you've gone way too far, you've experienced anything and everything, the Bible would say to you very clearly that Jesus knows exactly what you have done. You're not going to surprise him when you tell him. You're not going to shock him. And that he is drawing you to himself even in the midst of all that you are feeling bad of or have experienced in the past. And I just want to pray with you tonight. And if you're new here, or if you're here and you've come a long time and you want to receive Jesus, then I'm just going to invite you to receive Jesus tonight. Just right where you are. And you will, after, have people you can talk to. We'll get you a Bible. We'll walk you through some stuff. But tonight I want you to respond to Jesus. Respond to him. Because the passion is to be securely, undividedly focused on Jesus, no matter what stage of life you are in. And so, Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your life and your passion and your truth. And I ask that tonight that you would save us. You said in your scripture at the beginning of this night that we were washed, we were sanctified, and we were justified. And so I pray that tonight you would wash us of all the things that we have done that offend you, all the things that we have done that have caused you pain, all the rules, all the life, all the reality where we have walked away from your plan and purpose. Would you wash us from that? Would you sanctify us by the power of your Holy Spirit and make us clean, make us brand new? And would you justify us, not because of good works that we have done, but because of your sinless, perfect life? Would we receive your record? And would you take our record of wrong and give us your record of perfection tonight? We receive your life. We believe that you died, were buried, and 3 days later you rose again, beating death, and that you have ascended, and you will come again. And so we respond to you as the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, Savior. And I pray that tonight you would be our treasure. I pray that tonight for those of us that have played games, those of us that have known about you but not knowing you, that tonight you would be our greatest treasure. That we would treasure you above a perfect life. That we would treasure you above all of our hopes and dreams. That we would treasure you above everything. And we would let you influence our hearts and our minds. All this for your glory. All this for your glory. We want to receive you tonight. In Jesus' name.
Don't you worry, child. See, heaven's got a plan for you. Don't you worry now.
For more information, visit pilgrimagechurch.ca.